Here's the funny thing about people. We all like to look good, to make a good impression, to show everyone else we have it all together. Even though none of us do, the only way to pull this off is to put something else on. And that something is called a mask. A mask can help you get a job.
I have over 12 years of consumer electronics experience
playing video games in my parents' basement.
It can make you look smarter.
Organizational energies to maximize corporation synergy.
I have no idea what I'm saying.
And more dateable.
I can't believe you're single.
And I can't believe it's you're 25.
I'm not single.
I'm not 25.
We use our masks to impress people.
65-inch LED TV. Oh, it was gorgeous. It was like only this thick. I mean, you know, it's expensive and all, but it is the best. So much debt.
We use them to fool people.
I thought I was going the speed limit, officer.
We even use them to protect the feelings of the people we love.
That was a beautiful song, sweetie.
I'm pretty sure you're tone deaf.
I think I'm just gonna walk to school today. Because I'm kind of embarrassed to be seen with you.
He sounds like a great guy. What are you thinking?
You do not look fat in those jeans. So that's why they call it a muffin top.
We all wear masks from time to time, but the craziest place we put them on is in church.
Hello, brother.
Amen.
Greetings to you on this day that the Lord has made.
Something about it makes us want to look our best.
I'm fine.
Sound our best.
He hath blessedeth me so verily.
And make like everything is perfect.
Things are great.
But behind every perfect mask is a perfectly messed up life. People with hearts that are empty, confused, addicted, hopeless, helpless, and hurting. People who think... But here's the thing. This is exactly the kind of life where God shows up. Messes are his specialty. The one thing God can't work with is a mask. So around here, we have a saying. It's okay
to not be okay.
Nobody's perfect.
But grace is available.
We believe God doesn't love us if or because.
He loves us anyway.
We all like to look good to others. We like to make a good impression. But when it comes to God, the best impression you can make is to just be you.
You know what bothers me is some of you are saying, like, what are they laughing at? He looks like he always looks like. A lot of us wear masks, don't we? A lot of us wear masks to protect ourselves. We wear masks out of fear. We wear a mask that people will find out who we are. We worry about the fact that maybe one day somebody might pull my mask off and see how bad I really am hurting. And like the video in the church that did it, one of the places we do that very often is when we come to church. How you doing? Well, I'm okay. Got my mask on. Don't really want people to know how horrible a week it was. Don't really want people to know how much I'm hurting inside, because then we might have to talk about it. But worse yet, somebody may try to fix us. We wear a mask because we don't want people to know what we don't know. And so we pretend to know a lot more than we do. We wear masks to protect ourselves. One of the most courageous things that you can do is to take off your mask. One of the most courageous things that you can do is to be yourself, to show yourself, to throw abandon out and just be who God made you to be. Oscar Wilde said, "Be yourself because everyone else is taken." The psalmist said this, "I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Boy, you have a lot to believe there. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Embracing who you are, who God created you to be, and having the confidence to live without a mask is in these days the most courageous thing
that you can do. And sometimes we expend so much energy putting on and wearing our mask around people that we lose ourselves. We forget who we are. We begin to think we are the mask. We begin to believe that we are the things we put on Facebook, that we only want people to see about us, the image that we have. Knowing yourself is one of the most important things that you can do in knowing God. Awareness of who you are and how God created you and made you is an essential element in your relationship with God. For instance, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, every one of us. And yet, if you go around wearing a mask of righteousness all the time, and you begin to pretend that, you know what, I'm good, I do good things, you know, I don't smoke or chew or date women that do. I mean, you know, in your life, you can begin to convince yourself, if you're not honest with yourself to know that, yeah, I'm sinful, then you may never turn to Christ. Right. You know what, if you have an issue with pride, right? If I hide behind a mask of false humility, I may never understand fully what it means to humble myself before God. You got to know yourself. If you hide behind a mask of kindness and goodwill when you're really envious and jealous, you may never bring that envy and that jealousy before God because you're denying, you put your mask on. You got to know who you are. If you hide behind a mask of benevolence, you'll never deal with your self-centeredness and your selfishness before God. What people see on the outside, what you project, can keep you from dealing with who you are on the inside. It can keep you from being honest with God. It can keep you from knowing who you are, because if you look in the mirror and all you see is your mask, if you do that long enough, you can begin to deceive yourself. A lack of awareness about myself can limit my relationship with God. Well, how do you know if you're wearing a mask? Let me throw some symptoms at you real quick. These are just some things that if you find yourself going, yeah, that's probably me, then maybe that's an area where God maybe needs to deal with you. For instance, I say yes when I really want to say no. When we wear a mask, it's hard to be authentic, right? Because we need approval. And so we'll say yes. We'll pile our calendar up because we can't learn to say no because we don't want to get mad at me. If you get depressed when people are upset with you, if you need to be approved by others to feel good about yourself, if you remain silent in order to keep the peace and don't really do the hard work of being a true peacemaker, then you might be wearing a mask. If I believe that if I make mistakes, then I'm a failure. You know, when we're masked, we'd be very harsh on ourselves when we're masked. And that means that we're very harsh on other people too. If you criticize others in order to feel better about yourself, you're probably wearing a mask. If you avoid looking weak or foolish for not having the answer, if you have to be doing something exceptional to feel alive, your brokenness needs constant activity. I got to be doing something because we're empty on the outside. So we wear the mask by filling up our calendar. I have to be needed to feel alive. I'm fearful and I can't take risks. I can't let anyone know how weak I feel and how insecure I am, so I use my knowledge and my competence and my smartness to cover over my feelings of inadequacy. You're probably wearing a mask. I'm constantly comparing myself to others. And when I come out on top, I feel great about me. And when I come out on bottom, I feel so bad, like I'm a failure. Those are just some general thoughts that probably could hit a lot of us at different points in our life. I mean, we can lock ourselves away in a prison, sometimes even because something has happened to us that's so painful, and we're hurting so bad, we're wounded so deeply that we hide. And we stop sticking our necks out. We stop living spontaneously because somebody might not love us back. We stop reaching out to others and letting them carry us at times because I did that once and they dropped me and it hurt and I don't want to be hurt again. We stop saying what's on our minds because, well, somebody used our words to hurt us, to make fun of us, to condemn us. So we put a mask on over our hurts. We're in this series called Deep Dive, and we're talking about how can we let what God wants to do in our life and what God does for us, what God has done for us, seep down deep? Because for a lot of folks, it kind of sets on the surface. You can be a very shallow follower of Jesus. You can do all the right things, but not let what the work of redemption and transformation and sanctification sink down deep into your heart and into your life. So we're trying to figure out how can we go deeper so that what God teaches us and what God does doesn't just lie on the surface, but it sinks down into our hearts and our lives and radically transforms us, radically revolutionizes who we are, because we don't want to be those shallower followers. We want to be real and authentic and deep with him. Last week we talked about King Saul and how, despite the fact that God had anointed him, God gave him a new heart. God gave him a brand new heart. And yet he stumbled. He had brokenness in his life that needed a deeper healing. He kept following God the way he wanted to follow God. He did it his way instead of God's way. Well, today I want to let you look at somebody who had some spiritual depth to them. Somebody who refused to put on a mask and to hide. And not only did he refuse to hide behind a mask, but he wouldn't let other people try to put a mask on him either, because that happens very often in our lives. You may remember last week we talked about in 1 Samuel 15, King Saul continued to follow God his way, not God's way. And so God decided to take the kingdom from him. And we talked about that, excuse me, for just a moment. 1 Samuel 16, as the story progresses, we find that God sends the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king named David. Now, David was just a boy. And although God had decided that he was going to take the kingdom from Samuel because of his disobedience, he did choose David, but he didn't. They anointed David, but they didn't like have the big, inauguration like they had with Saul. God wanted David to kind of grow a little bit because he was such a young man. So David went to work part time for King Saul, and then the other rest of his time he spent helping his dad take care of the sheep out in the fields. And so in 1 Samuel 17, this is what we read. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Soco in Judah and Azekah in that place. And Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with a valley in between them. And then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. And the shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. And Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. And if he kills me, then I will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. 40 days, once in the morning, once in the evening, Goliath came out to taunt the Israelite army. David's three oldest brothers were in the army. And his dad sends him back. He's going to go, maybe he's going to his part-time job with Saul. And so he sends food with him to take to his older brothers. And as he goes, he's making his delivery. David's there, and he's there as the soldiers are moving towards the battle lines. And Goliath does his thing. Goliath comes out, and he shouts all these taunts, and he says all these horrible things, and he curses God. And the soldiers of Israel are so scared that they run away. The Bible says that they were in fright. No one wants to go out to face Goliath, this huge giant, to defend the nation or to defend God's reputation. Now, you know the end of this story. I know sometimes we don't like to know the end of the movie, but come on. You know every time you watch Titanic, the ship sinks, okay? So you know the end of this story, right? David goes out there with his slingshot and whirls his rock over his head and he lets it go and he hits Goliath and he kills him. Goliath falls and David takes his sword and cuts off Goliath's head, and the Israelite army charges across the field and they rout the Philistine army. It's a huge victory for God's people. And this story of David and Goliath is one that transcends, you know, all of this. Here's the deal. David won not because he was a better soldier than Goliath. He had no sword, he had no armor, he had no shield. He had no soldiering experience. He was small compared to this mountain of a man. Nope. David won because he didn't just know God, but he knew himself. He didn't put on a mask and pretend to be something that he wasn't. He refused to. He was so attuned with God because he had no pretension about who he was. He simply lived into who God created and called him to be. And when he did that, just knowing who he was and who God was, he won the battle, the mission that God laid on his heart. That's what God wants for you. He has battles that he wants you to win. He doesn't want you to be defeated. You have Goliaths in your life. You have enemies that taunt you and taunt God. And God wants you to find victory. But it's not always by becoming a better soldier. What it is knowing who you are in God, who you are in Christ, and also knowing who God is. And knowing what you know, being who God called you to be. David had obstacles. He had resistance. He had a number of things trying to convince him. This was not only his own fear, but he had people who were trying to put a mask on him and tell him, here's what you need to go fight this battle. Put on this mask. Pretend that you're this soldier. Pretend that you're brave. You'll have obstacles in your life as you're trying to be who God called you to be, as you're trying to do the things that God has called you to do. And you'll need to cut through the resistance in order to become who God wants you to be and to do the things that God's called you to do. Well, how do you do that? How can you really know yourself in such a way that it brings you closer to God? How do you lean into who you are in Christ and what he has for you without wearing a mask? I think it's the same way that David did it. David had three obstacles to go through, and the first one was family. Verse 26 says this. David asked the soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Who's he think he is that he can curse God like that? In verse 28, "But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. 'What are you doing around here anyway?' he demanded. What about those few sheep that you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride. I know about your deceit. You just want to see the battle." And David's like, "Hey, dude," that's my version. "Hey, dude, what have I done? I'm just asking a question." David's family didn't think much of him. He was the youngest of eight boys. And they had a sister. And as we mentioned, after God had decided that he was gonna take the kingdom from Saul, he sent Samuel, and he said, "I want you to go to this man's house, Jesse's house, and we're gonna anoint a new king today." And so, you know, Samuel does all this. He goes to Jesse's house, and as all the seven brothers come in, Samuel's sitting there just waiting on God to tell him which one's gonna be the new king. And a couple of them look pretty kingly, you know. Yeah, that's right. If you were here last week, you know that's a Sean Snavely type. And so a couple of them like, that could be king. He could be king. And God's like, "Oh, no, not him. And all seven go by, and God's none of them. And so Samuel says, "Is this all the boys you got?" And they said, "Well, there's David." "Well, where's he?" "He's out in the field, man. He's the grunt. He's the run of the family." Any of you, the youngest child, you know, you just don't get thought of. You know, and so they don't think much of him, but, you know, Samuel says, "Hey, you better go get that kid." And so he comes in, and God says, "That's the one I want." And he's the one that Samuel anointed to be the king. And so it's no surprise that David's older brother on this day, when they're at the battle line, having been at the front line, his brother's been there for all 80 times that Goliath has come out and taunted them. And every time, you know this as well, right? When you get scared of somebody, there's a bit of shame that kind of comes with that. These were soldiers. And so they're embarrassed by being overwhelmed by their fear. And so here he is, his brother's out there, and actually he needed somebody to take his shame out on. And so he just really gives it to David for asking questions. You know how people are sometimes? You're irritated about something, or you're just so, you know, anxious and fearful and full of shame that when somebody's asking questions, God, oh, would you just shut up? You're so conceited and deceited, and I just get out of here. He judges him. He calls him names. I mean, he labels him, slanders him, puts him in his place, basically says, you need to get out of here, loser. There's no place for you here. David has to cut through all that. It's hard to be yourself. Isn't it hard to be what God wants you to be when somebody in your family's telling you, you're just this and you're just that? You can't do that. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that God could forgive you of your sins? Who do you think you are that God could use you? You're arrogant. Sometimes in our families will sometimes love us for who they want us to be. They'll encourage us to wear a mask that they want us to wear instead of being who God calls us to be. They'll label us. They'll put names on us. Some of us grew up in a home where we were never good enough. Our grades were never high enough. Our parents were never satisfied with our performance. Some of us grew up in a family where one of our siblings outshined the rest of us, that made us look pretty pathetic and weak. We got labeled, and we would hear that label over and over and over. I have an uncle of mine who I don't think listens to our videos, so he married my one of my mom's sisters. He calls her Zero. I don't know. Maybe you've heard a nickname, Fatty. Maybe you've heard a nickname like, you know, Bucktooth. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes families put these, and sometimes family will make us wear a mask that says that we have little value, that we're unimportant, that we don't matter. Maybe you don't get brought in on family's decision. It's hard to be who God called you to be and do what God has called you to do when you have family, friends, or maybe you're in a marriage like that. And you have to be able to cut through that where somebody's trying to put a mask on you. In order for you to be who God wants you to be, sometimes you gotta cut through the mask and the obstacles that your family put in front of you. Hard to be who God wants you to be. David, he's like, you know, he had the anointing of God in his life. I mean, and we saw with Saul that when you were anointed, there was a change that happened in your heart. And yet here, even though his life's been changed, and even though God's with him, the voices of his family are pulling him down. They're ridiculing him. They're judging him. They're slandering him. They're putting him in his place, a place that God doesn't want him to be. And maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe that's the stuff that you've got to cut through to try to be who God wants you to be. Is you're dealing with family and friends, or maybe a marriage, or, you know, somebody in your life who just like is just trying to put you in a different place and make you wear a mask, and you got to be able to cut through that. Here's another mask you got to work through. When significant people with authority and experience in your life, other people's experience. Saul hears that David's asking questions, so he sends for him. And in verse 32, David says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." And remember this. When they would do this in the ancient world, when you sent one man out to fight the other, whatever the result was, that meant that the other, so it's like if David lost, the Israelites would have to succumb and lay down their swords, and the Philistines would have won. So there's something invested here for everybody. And David's like going, "There's no way you can do this." But David's determined. He says in verse 38, Then Saul gave David his armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. And David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off. It's kind of like Brylan tried to get in my shoes the other day. She is, she's 14, 15 months, and it was a horrible experiment. I hope she doesn't give up on walking, and I have to carry her the rest of her life. But that's what it was like here for David. He's trying on Saul's armor, and it didn't fit. Now, Saul was an experienced leader. He was an experienced warrior, so he knows what it means to fight. That's why he's giving him his armor, but it doesn't fit. "It's not me," David said. "It's not me. I got to be who God created me to be." And so look what he does instead. After he takes off the armor, he picked up 5-foot smooth stones from a stream and he put them in his shepherd's bag. And then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. You ever have people in your life, people you love, people who are more experienced than you, and they give you advice? It's important to listen to. I don't want to, Proverbs says that there is safety in having many advisors, So you don't want to throw away advice. Teens, don't go home today and say, "Pastor said I don't have to listen to you." That's not what I'm saying. You do have to listen. It's important to listen, but the key here is this. As you grow older in your life, you have to know yourself so well that when you try on someone else's armor, someone else's experience, someone else's advice, you'll know whether it fits or not. You've got to know yourself so well. I don't know how many of us know somebody who they ended up doing whatever the last person they talked to advised them to do, right? I mean, there are some people, they're getting too much information and they don't know where to go. And so it's just, it's like, "Well, I was going to do this and then so-and-so said this and then, but so-and-so's been through this and so now I'm going to do this." And they can't make up their mind. You know why? Because they don't know who they are. So they don't know if any of that fits them or not. They don't know if the armor fits. If you don't know yourself, how will you know if the armor fits? How will you have confidence to take it off? Don't ignore advice. I mean, David tried on the armor, right? So it wasn't like he just totally blew everybody off. David listened, but he knew himself so well that he felt confident enough to take it off and be who God made him to be, to use what God had given him to use. So Saul and the soldiers and Goliath, they may have been experts at shields and armor and swords and all that other stuff, but David was an expert with the sling. You have to know yourself so that you can know how God made you to accomplish the mission in your life and community. Because listen, he made you for the plans that he has for you. You were not just haphazardly made. The Bible tells us that he gives us gifts and he creates us in such a way with plans that are already out there for us, things that he wants us to do. And so that's why there's a Brian. That's why there's a Sean. That's why there's a Dan. That's why there's a Luann. That's why there's a Jackie. We're all different and created for different reasons and for purposes because God created us for different things. And so us all doing the same thing at the same time, the same way, isn't the way that he made us. He created us to be. David knows himself. David is an expert on him. David is an expert on David. No one else is an expert on you but you and the God who made you. Wearing someone else's armor and using someone else's weapon only makes you clumsy. Wearing that what God gave you and being who God made you to be and wielding the weapon that God gave you makes you dangerous. I believe that with all my heart. Some of us are clumsy because we're trying to be somebody that we're not. We're trying to be somebody because you know what? I really love, one of the things like Dan. Dan Golightly, he can fix anything, I've come to believe, pretty much. We had a leak in our toilet. So the screws at the base of the tank, the washers, every time you flushed the tank was filling up again, water's just running out. So I told my wife, "I can fix this." She was not confident. She said, let's just go ahead and call a plumber before you do more damage and we have to pay more money. I said, no, I know what I'm doing. I watched a YouTube video. And I've got Dan's phone number on speed dial. I fixed it, by the way. Now, other things won't work on it, but that's another matter. Anyhow. You got to live into who you are. Be who God called you to be. He gifted you certain ways. There's certain things he wants you to do. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't know yourself enough. Know the way that God made you so that whenever somebody's else trying to put your stuff, I always tell women, when they get pregnant, don't listen to any of the stories. Because you'll meet a woman who, like our daughter-in-law, Kate, she has... We stood outside the room when they had their first child, when Olivia was born. We never heard a sound. You know, when Luann had a baby, it was, they had to, please, lady, be quiet. You're scaring other patients in the hospital. And I, you know, and she, her labor was like nothing, you know. But see, here's what will happen. If you get pregnant, you're always going to run into that woman who was in labor for 4 weeks, you know, who was in bed rest for 6 months, and who, you're always going to hear these horrible stories, right? You got to know yourself. Don't be afraid to be you and who God made you. Don't be afraid to ask God, what do you want me to do? He's the one who can tell you the best because he's the one who created you. I got to move on, or the Baptists are going to beat us to the buffet. Here's the last thing you got to cut through, and that's the enemy. Verse 41, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him and sneering in contempt at his ruddy-faced boy. Listen to him. It's Goliath, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? He had his staff with him, and he had his sling. And he cursed David by the name of his gods. Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals. Goliath cursed him. He threatened him. He mocked him. He tried to scare him. You're going to die. You know, Goliath is so sure of himself. He's killed everybody else that he's faced. But David isn't afraid. Goliath thinks all the odds are with him, and everybody else thinks that as well. But not David. He knows who God is, and he knows who he is. Goliath may be an expert at his weapon, but David is an expert with his. To David, it's a mismatch in his favor, not Goliath's. Why? Because he trusts God. There was, when he took off the armor in verse 33, this is what, you know, Saul says this when he took the armor off. Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. I want you to hear me real clearly. David's confidence is not just in God. David's confidence is in his ability to trust God so much that he's willing to catch a bear or a lion by the jaw and club it to death. It's in his ability to trust this God. I hear people all the time saying, oh, I wish I had more faith. I wish you knew God better, you know, so I could have more faith. Listen, Bible says that you only need faith, well, how big? Size of a mustard seed. The issue is not faith. The issue is knowing yourself better. Why? Because there's something inside you that's not trusting God, that's stopping you from believing, from putting it all out there. The battle for David, the battle for Saul, the battle for the Israelite army was not their faith in God. They'd had great battles and they'd seen God do great things on their behalf. The battle was in their hearts. It was in their minds and their souls. Something was keeping them from trusting God. They knew him. They'd seen him do great things, but something they didn't understand was being used by the enemy to bring fear and doubt and discouragement into their hearts and keep them from trusting him. And David cut through all the threats. He cut through all the curses and the contempt and the sneering. He wouldn't wear the mask of fear that Goliath tried to put on him. David said, I know how to trust God. And you know what? This morning in the battle that you're facing, maybe that's your issue. It's not your faith. You don't need very much. It's not your knowledge of God. It's not all the Bible verses that you read this week in panic. Maybe what it is your trust of Him. Well, what's the difference between faith and trust? I read this week. I think it says it well. It boils down to this. Faith is a belief system. Trust is an action. Faith is believing that God is who God says He is and that God can do only what God can do. But trust takes it a step further. It's making a willing choice to trust that God will do what He promises. Faith can stand behind the battlefield, the battle line, and say, I know God can. But trust walks across the battlefield and meets the enemy. Faith that does not lead to trust is only theoretical. And some of us, we're not lacking in faith, but we are lacking in trusting God, that God will has me, that God will take care of me, that it's all going to be, that the God who I know and believe in is going to meet my need and meet my enemy and crush him. David cut through all that intimidation that Goliath threw at him. And that's what enabled him to take that smooth stone and put it in that sling and hurl it over his head and win the victory. I want to close this morning. Are you hiding? Is there a mask that you're wearing this morning? Maybe you're wearing a mask of your own choosing because you don't want anybody to see. You're hurting inside. Maybe you don't want them to see the mess. You don't want them to see your weakness. You don't want to see them to see the hurt, the pain, the struggle. Maybe this morning you're wearing a mask that your family put on you. Maybe when you're trying to listen to God tell you how courageous you can be, you hear that word zero over and over in your head. Or maybe you feel like there's an expectation, a label that you could never live up to. Maybe you wear the mask of disappointment, of a loser, of judgment, of ridicule, when God has created you to do great things. It's really hard to be who God called you to be or do what God called you to do because there's not only no support, but there are others around you that are dragging you down. Maybe today's the time to just cast that off and say, God, here I am. I want to be who you say I am. Maybe this morning you're wearing someone else's armor. You listen to their advice and, you know, they knew more. They'd experienced more. Maybe it was somebody who'd been there, somebody you admired. And maybe you're trying to initiate and emulate someone else's faith. And you're following their advice, but it doesn't fit you because that's not who God created you to be. That's not the way God created you to fight this fight. Maybe this morning you're wearing a mask of fear because you've got a giant in your life. I can tell you what, health issues can be a giant in your life, shaking fear at you, can't they? You're intimidated. You're trying to get through, but your heart is full of threats. And you thought you needed more faith, but today you realize that maybe your faith is enough, but maybe you aren't trusting to just say, God, here I am. Catch me, do this. I don't know. Maybe today's the time to take off the mask, to know yourself and trust God, and take a deep dive into what He has for you and for your heart and life. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I have no idea this morning what any of us are facing. Some of us are silently fighting battles alone. We feel hopeless and we feel helpless. We feel overwhelmed. And probably if we were to put ourselves in this story, we would be like those soldiers standing behind the battle line, scared. Feeling like there's no way we can get through what we're facing and what we're going through. And yet this morning, Father, I feel like you've kind of shifted through all of that, and you've just, you've come and you've spoken to us about the mask that we sometimes wear and the way that we pretend sometimes that it's all okay when it's not. And so, God, I want to pray for that one today who's hiding behind a mask. The many of us, Lord, who sometimes put masks on ourselves because we're frightened and we're afraid and we don't want anyone to know. And God, we're embarrassed, and the enemy keeps telling us that if people really knew who we were, they'd reject us. God, I pray that you would just help us to take off our mask before you right now. You already see us. You already know this morning. So this is a safe place right now to just say, God, you see me. You see my shame. You see my hurt. You see my difficulty. You see my pain. You see my struggle this morning. And yet, despite the fact that you see all that, you love me today. God, I embrace your love this morning for me. Pour your love into me this morning, that despite all of my faults and all of my failures and all of the stuff, God, that other people say about me, God, I know you love me today, that I am your child. So God, help me to receive your love. And God, help me this week to cut through some of the masks that people try to put on me. Maybe it was your family this morning. If you've got an issue, like maybe you identified with some of the ways you were raised in certain ways, and you sometimes have to struggle through with some of the names you were called and some of the things that happened and the way that you sometimes feel. Could you just say, God, I give my family to you today, Lord. I don't want to be who my family wants me to be. I want to be who you want me to be. So God, I forgive. And Lord, I ask that you would help me to move forward. Heal me. Heal me of all those things that people have tried to put on me, all those names people called me on the playground and at work and other places. God, heal me and forgive me today, Lord, and bring wholeness to my life today so that I can be who you want me to be. And God, will you move and work into my life? I've listened to a lot of opinions. Stuff happened in my life, and I've listened to, and help me to know myself so well that I'll know when something fits and when something doesn't. That I'll live into what you have armed me with. I don't want to be clumsy in life, stumbling around just doing what everybody thinks I ought to do. I want to do it by your power and your might with the gift that you've given me. You equipped me. You made me for a purpose and a reason. Help me to live into it with the way that you created and made me. And God, I pray today for that one who's facing that giant. Whether that be illness or finances, family problems. God, the enemy comes against us. God, today will you shut the mouth of the enemy so that we might hear your voice in our lives, so that we might hear your spirit speak inside of us, that we are who you created us to be. We are not afraid today. We cast out all fear from us today, Lord, so that we may go and fight the enemy and face him head on and know that we are not alone because, not because we're so great, not because we're so good, not even just because you're so awesome, but because we know how to trust you. Teach me how to trust you. Teach me how to lean into you so that you and I together can overcome the enemy everywhere, in every moment, in every situation. The word says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. May I lean on you in these days and trust you so that I might be victorious, so that the enemy might be put down and defeated, and I might walk in confidence, in victory, because of who you are. God, today we put our hope and we put our trust in you. May we take a deep dive into who you are. And as we do, may we see great things happen in the days that are ahead, in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our neighborhood, in our community, at our school and at our workplace. May the name of Jesus be proclaimed. And as we lift you up, may all men know who you are. We love you today, and we give ourselves to you, for we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song this morning. The band's going to come back, and we're going to sing one of my favorites. Talks about how the same power that raised him from the dead has also done something in us. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you're dealing with some stuff, if there's something that we talked about this morning and you want to talk about some more, please holler at us. That's why we're here as a staff. We just want to help you. We encourage you to get into a community group and be connected so that you can travel and along with other people, have people who will pray for you and lift you up in prayer. But if there's something that you need to talk to us about, we're sure here to talk to you about it. I believe this with all my heart. God can do great things in your life. Now, next week, we're going to talk about family. Buckle your chin straps. But actually, you'll think we're talking about family, but what we're talking about is what we believe about God. So I don't want you to miss it. Bring somebody with you. It's a message in a sermon that I know that God's got a good word for us. He's already been working on my life through it, and so I know he has something for you as well. Will you stand with me? Praise team's going to come, and we're going to just sing this song. I hope this morning, this isn't just a song to end the service. This is a testimony as we go out. So that as we go out this week, we'll remember and know that our confidence is in him. That same power is in us. And no matter what's out there this week, we can overcome it because of him. Let's sing this together.